God's Word says. God's Word says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not being ashamed, handling with precision the Word of truth. It's good to have the sword in the hand sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. It's good to have that hand. Richard, go ahead and turn on a light for me because I'm getting so old that I'm going to have to use my glasses to read my small print Bible here. Sorry, I don't want to make a spectacle out of these, but oh, I know. Sorry, too late. But, you know, as we were praying and, you know, and I was, you know, talking with Dave earlier this week, and, you know, the Spirit said and the Weather Channel said, you better get down here and start painting because it's supposed to rain when work day was planned. So I came down on Monday, and Dave and I sat down and go, Dave, I'm not sure what I should be teaching about. Because a part of me says, Romans, and I love Romans, and I don't want my passion to get in the way of what God wants. And then another thing says, well, you know what? The book of Joshua. Which one? And so we prayed together and just kind of, you know, sought wisdom from the Lord, and the Lord said, Romans. And with that, I'm kind of excited because with Romans, there comes a trilogy of things. Because with Romans, you can't but help but go to the book of Galatians. And from Galatians, you can't help but springboard into the book of Hebrews. And you're like, oh, what are you talking about, Rabbi? Well, there's this verse in Habakkuk that says, the righteous shall live by faith. And the only other place that that is quoted in Scripture is in the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews. That's why I believe that the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote the book of Hebrews, even though he didn't credit himself. And I can understand why. Because we're going to talk about this a little bit today. I mean, Paul, a brilliant mind of his day. He was a brilliant mind of his day. And because of his separation out of traditional Judaism, and also use the word traditional, into godly, messianic, you know, followers of the Messiah, believers in the way, he didn't want to attach his name to a book that was going to the Jews because he didn't want to have that stigmata there. That thing of, oh, look, it's Paul. He was that guy, you know. He stuttered under Gamaliel. He was supposed to be the great next leader of the rabbinic and in the court in Jerusalem at the great synagogue. He was the guy. And you know, Gamaliel, he doesn't just choose anybody. He only chooses those to be his students who are destined for greatness in Judaism. And so he took his name away from that book. And when you think about it, okay, we see the trilogy of these things together. So with that, I always say, if we're looking at something in the Brit Hadashah, and you guys know me, if it quotes something in the Tanakh, we're going to look at it and we're going to discover it. We're going to find out really what's going on. Because that is the best way. Diane, we did this last week when you weren't here. Everybody did this for you in your honor. We put on our Jewish glasses. We look at the perspective because we have to remember the best way to interpret Scripture, there's three things. First of all, you have to look at the original languages. Then you have to look at how the language is used. What's the grammatical context? And then the third thing is you have to look at the culture. We have some sayings in our culture that people look at us and they go, huh, I don't get what that means. You know, like for example, you know, I see Bill out there and he's lifting something manly, like probably a 5 million ton steel beam. Oh, yeah, no problem. I got this, Diane. Sit down. It's all good. And he puts it down. Hey, wasn't that heavy? Oh, no. It was as light as a feather. That was as light as a feather. And people who don't understand that that's a phraseology that we use in our language don't understand the concept of being light as a feather because they compare a feather to this 5 billion ton steel beam that Bill just carried. They don't get it. So that's why we've got to look at the culture to see what else is going on. And so with that, a lot of people are like, oh, Romans, it's just so Greek. It's just so... No. Romans 1 is excellent. 2, it's good meat. Amen. But also, you know, in talking with scholars, and I remember talking with Dr. Bruce Stokes up at Cal Baptist University, and, you know, he was responsible for, he was part of the translation team for the book of Romans that translated the New American Standard Bible. And so this obviously, this guy is, he's got authority. And I'm like, oh, you know, Dr. Stokes, one, I've got some problems with the way you translated the book of Romans. And he says, I do too. Well, what happened? Well, you know, the Lockman Foundation, who actually was responsible for this, we had translation teams. In order to not make waves so that their Bible would be more acceptable, they did a little tweaking and used some lesser definitions. And he specifically pointed me to Romans 10:4, where it says, Jesus is the end of the law. And I'm like, oh, what? That's not what the Greek says. You know, and he goes, I know, end as in the ends, as in the goal, but they chose the lesser definition because they wanted to sell more Bibles. I go, whoa. And I go, don't people understand? And he goes, let me tell you something, Rabbi. People don't understand a lot of things about the book of Romans. First of all, in order to study the book of Romans, you better have read the Torah through in its entirety first, because you're not going to understand any of it. You're also going to have to understand the book of Psalms. You're also going to have to understand the prophecies about the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. You're going to also have to understand that the righteous shall live by faith. And so, sharing all these things with me, it's like, oh wow! So this is a feast, and this is a smorgasbord, and this is like really a lot of deep things for us to go through. And so I'm glad. I am really glad, because we're going to learn how the righteous shall live by faith. So let's talk about the Apostle Paul here for a moment. Let's look at his background. Gamaliel, Rabban Gamaliel the Great, son or grandson of Hillel. Which, for those of you who studied history during this time period, you know that in the rabbinic world there were two schools, the school of Hillel and the school of Shemini, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And he was the grandson of Hillel, a great rabbi of his time, who Yeshua used some of Hillel's writings in his teaching. But also, it's interesting to note that Gamaliel actually studied at the school of Shemini. So here he's got this greatness on one side according to Judaism, and he went to the other side according to this thing in Judaism. And this man was responsible for training Pharisees. That was his job. People who understood and knew the Torah. And Paul was one of those. He was a zealous Pharisee. He was trained by the most brilliant legal Torah mind of his day. He had skills. He had experience. He had all these things going on. But when you think about the first three words, Paul, a bondservant. Notice he didn't cite his credentials. Rabbi Shaul. Alphabet soup, you know? You know, he probably had an aleph and a bet and an alpha and a beta, you know, because he understood both Greek and Hebrew mindset. He knew both cultures because he was raised in both cultures. And he said, hey, you know what? And I think of that verse that's written in the scriptures where he says, I count these things as rubbish. In comparison, you know, the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, the man according to the traditions and according to the Torah. I count this all. Actually, the word there is poop, is the nice way of putting it. Dung, scrupulous, if I remember the Greek term correctly. Remember, I'm going without notes today. But yeah, I count this all rubbish. And that really gives us a great picture, because here we have the most qualified guy in the room who could teach. And how long, when you study the history of what happened at the assembly in the first century, the Apostle Paul, as after his conversion, he wasn't like up there leading a great assembly someplace or a messianic synagogue. He was actually just serving behind the scenes for 14 years. Now put yourself in that situation. Imagine that you're the smartest guy in the room, but yet somebody else is up here bringing forth the Word of God. Can you see how the adversary can use that to bring frustration to Paul?
Yeah.
I don't get it. What's that guy doing up there? He doesn't know half as much. God, why am I here and him there? Well, the Apostle Paul addresses that. We're going to talk about this later on. But, you know, I think of this verse that's coming up in a couple of chapters, which is a couple of, you know, weeks, maybe a month or two ahead, where it says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Because when we are submitted to the Master, it doesn't matter who's up there as long as he's teaching and preaching the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, right? And he might not know all the details, and he might not know all the ins and outs, but what we do know is if God has called him to be there, he is to be there, and we are to do everything possible to support that. Everything possible. I'll admit, I am not the smartest guy in the room. There are guys out there that are a lot smarter than me. And praise God, they've written books that I can kind of cheat off of. Yeah, amen. I feel the same way. But I do know this. When I show up and say, oh, you know, and this morning, once again, I was so tired this morning. I'm like, oh, I wanted to go start nudging my elbow. And of course, it wasn't Crystal that was next to me. It was the cat. Bach, why don't you go teach today? I'm just really tired. But all, you know, and all these things have been happening. And it's crazy. And I just haven't been feeling good. And I'm tired at home. Here I am back in the building again, especially after this week. I was here a lot this week, humble heart. But you know what? God says, hey, you know what? In your weakness, I am strong. And guess what? Since you're feeling so horrible, even though I prepared, even though I read, had these great notes. But you know what? As long as the Spirit is flowing, then we praise God. Because we now know. If you get hit by a stroke of brilliance today, no, it's not from me, but it's from God using these lips. Okay? And when you say something of brilliance to somebody, a word of encouragement beyond, hey, would you like a cookie? I know, a little visitation joke there. But, you know, beyond that, that you know that every word proceeds. It's God's breath that's proceeding out of your mouth and feeding others. And that's how Paul looked at things. It's not about me, is what he said. It's all about God. All the stuff is dung, crap, poop, whatever. It's all that. Because as a servant, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to stand there. Doulos is the Greek word, if I remember correctly. I'm going to stand there. What does a servant do? Does a servant say, hey, master, you didn't put enough of this out on the table. Hey, master, you need to do this. Hey, master, you got to do that. Hey, master, what about this? No, a servant stands there and waits. How many of you hate waiting? I mean, that's why man invented the microwave, because we hate waiting, right? And we see that in our generation nowadays. Yeah, we want to put it in 30 seconds and it's done. We've got plastic. We want that big screen TV. We're not going to work for it. We got our plastic. We're going to go out. And we're going to pay a lot of money to get that TV, right? You think about using a credit card to buy something today. Scary. For every $100 you borrow on your credit card, if you let that interest build up, you're paying about $20 extra for that item. So that $100 item is now $120. If you do it the other way, if you save up the money, you'll probably get $5 or $6 in interest. I'm just using some random numbers here. I know it's not even close to being accurate. You get 5 cents in interest. But, you know, $99.95 is a lot cheaper than $120, right? Especially with gas prices nowadays. Well, I digress. But, you know, think about these things. Our generation wants it now. But sometimes God wants us to wait. But I have to say something. No, you don't. If I is in the equation, you should do nothing. But what about? No, no. Let go and let God. We've heard that phrase before, right? Or that verse in Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. I'm so tired, I got to do something about it. No, you don't. Wait upon the Lord as a servant would wait upon the Lord. Because we can do all things through the Messiah who gives us strength. Amen? Yeah. So we need to remember that. If the most brilliant mind during that first century assembly could say, hey, I'm a servant, we need to have that same mentality, right? Ooh, I get to go and sweep the floors today. Yes! You know, and some like sweeping. Or then there's David in the back. Ooh, I get to go vacuum the stage. I love to vacuum. David loves to vacuum it. So praise God, because many times God has to serve him by using the passions that he has given us. Amen? Yeah. So we need to be bond servants. And a bond servant of who? Do we need to be a servant of sin? No. Do we need to be a servant of selfishness? No. Do we need to be a servant of this, that, or the other? The almighty dollar or societal things that they predict? No. Do we need to be a servant of the media and what the media says for us? No. We need to be a bond servant of Yeshua, a bond servant of Jesus. And we need to do what His Word says to do and what He tells us to do. Amen? Yeah. So the bondservant here who was called as an apostle. And I think about that because many want to do things out of self-gratification, but they don't listen to the calling of God. I've fallen victim to that trap before. I don't get it, God. I love you. You've given me a talent. How come I can't do, 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 do? Well, that's not your calling. But I used to. Well, that was your calling for that season. Now you've got a new calling and a new set of giftings. You know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Yeah, I'm in the ministry. But you know what? God's really called me to play rock and roll for Him. And God's like, that was that season. We've got a new season coming up. And guess what? You're going to yeshiva to study to be a rabbi. If you would have told me that 15 years ago, I would have laughed. No, you know, I've got a guitar, I've got amplifiers, I can play. But you know what? My calling isn't to play music all the time. Now, it's nice I get to play. You know, I get to play for 2 hours a week. Sabbath, praise team practice, Sabbath, when we play. That's it. That's it. Because that's no longer my calling. My calling is to teach. My calling is that Corinthians says, there's the highest calling, which is those who have seen the Messiah, those are apostles. And the second highest calling is to be a prophet. Well, what's a prophet do? A prophet doesn't sit around and go, okay, I got my crystal ball, here's the future. Hey, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90. Richard, hit the smoke machine. Hey, 90, 90, 90, 90. No. A prophet of God is someone who speaks the Word of God. And it doesn't predict the future, but the Word of God is upon their lips in all situations. In fact, I remember one time I had somebody as I was being fired from a ministry job saying, why do you use the Bible for everything? That's my calling. I'm a prophet. You know? I use the Word of God. I speak the Word of God. And that's how we verify callings for people. Well, I think that God has called me for this. Okay. Well, let's just not think about it. Let's get the elders together and pray about it. And get the confirmation. Because God doesn't have loose cannons. God doesn't, you know, there's no I in team. And there's no I in God's team, right? Yeah. He is the only one. And if you're part of the team, then, hey, you know, oh, I'm feeling, you know, everyone like, oh, I want to be this or that or the other. But really our calling is, well, you know, body needs a toe today. A toe? It's stinky down there. It's smelly down there. I don't like the little sock stuff that gets under the toenail. That freaks me out. Well, God's called you to be a toe. But a toe, that's not important. Well, how else can the body stand without toes? Yeah. And so each of our calling is very important for the assembly, the ecclesia. Yeah. And so with that, we are called. Now in this case, Paul was called as an apostle. He was one who saw Jesus. And that was his calling. And then with that, he was set apart. He was consecrated. And he was set apart for the gospel. And I think about this. How did Paul's, his ministry come about? Did he say, hey, you know what? I know Hebrew. I know Greek. I can float in both cultures. I'm going to be the best missionary that there ever is. That's not how it happened, was it? He was away from the assembly in Jerusalem. He was up in Antioch. And they're like, oh, hey, we need somebody to go out there. I know. And as the elders were praying, what did the Spirit say? Go up to Antioch. There's two guys up there. Shaul, Rabbi. And there's this guy also called Barnabas. Bar, son, bus, encouragement. The son of encouragement. So we're sending an encourager and we're sending somebody with some knowledge together. Missionary team. Let's go up there. And after prayer, there was confirmation of the elders. And the Holy Spirit said, those guys, they laid hands on them, they prayed for them, and they sent them out. That's so important. See, there's a chain of command that God has. And that's how we receive the confirmation that God wants us to be doing things. And you know, and I think about our transitional time that we've had here at the synagogue. Oh, I'm the rabbi. Oh, there's nobody else around. Well, God, I'll have to rely upon you. But Lord, I can't do this. And what was his response? We're going to raise up some elders. And after prayer, knowing what God was going to do, I am so glad to have three solid men of God that are so different from each other. Seriously. I mean, Diane's laughing because she's sitting between two of them. Yeah, but you know what? We have these three guys have one thing in common. They all want to do what God wants them to do. And with that, you know, I said, hey, I want you guys to do this. And I don't want yes men. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. You're the rabbi. Yeah, okay. Steel beam, light as a feather. Ugh. No, but yeah. But guys who are serious and say, hey, you know what? Rabbi, I'm not getting a word about that. I'm going to have to seek God and pray. Because guess what? I would rather get the right answer and be under the will of God than get the wrong answer and be out floundering around doing whatever. When God's like, oh, cloud ain't there. Come back. Come back. Be under the cloud. Be under the protection of God during the day. Be underneath the fire at night that's going to keep you warm in a cold desert. And that's why I'm glad I have men that have surrounded me, that pray for me, that read the Word of God and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. We're going to start there first. And everything else, okay, gray areas, we're going to pray about and get confirmation with the Spirit. You know, building this building here. What did it start off with? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Okay, Lord, if you want us to build this house, you're going to provide. Because we had all, you know, we had a lot of the material already. Dave and Barb already had it. I still look at that one beam every time I teach and go, that was the start of it all. God, if you want to do it, you got to give us a couple hundred bucks to get that going. And it wasn't too much longer after that. Here you go. Go down and buy it. Okay, well, Lord, this is going to be an expensive project. What are we going to do? And he gave us favor. You know, Lowe's, the guys at Lowe's have been brilliant. They've given us discounts. Huge discounts on building the building and providing the material. The labor was cheap, you know. Right, David? Richard? You know, the materials, people donated things. Hey, I got a couple extra rolls of this. So, Acts chapter 2, where people brought what they had, and look what happened. The Lord built the house. The Lord built the house. And because we have said we're going to be set apart to do what God wants us to do in this place. Not what we want to do, but what God wants us to do. We watch and we see God move in a mighty way. A lot of people in their spiritual journeys are just like, oh, hey, I don't get it. I keep on praying for God to come here and come join me where I'm at. But that's really not what we should be doing as believers. What we should be doing is saying, okay, God, where are you working today? Because that's where I'm going to go. What? You want me to have lunch with that Mormon guy? And Bill's like, oh, yep, and we're doing it again next week. But with that, he was looking to see where God was working, because he had a chance at the end of his lunch. Says, hey, I got two questions for you. We've talked a lot of politics. We've talked a lot of this, that, and the other. But I've got two questions for you. I want you to really consider this. What are your spiritual beliefs? And the second question, to you, who is Jesus? And he followed it up with an email. You see where God is working and we go there. We no longer say, I want God to do what I want to do. I want to manipulate God. I've got the power to do the things. I've got authority to do things. No. Because when we try to manipulate God, don't we elevate ourselves to Godhood? And yeah. That's when lightning bolts come down. Yeah, exactly. But God wants us set apart for His gospel. Whatever our part may be. Whatever our calling may be. But when we remember that we show up as a servant, just like Yeshua did he not come as a suffering servant? You know, remember those WWJD, what would Jesus do? He would wash people's feet. He would hang out with the unpopular people. Jesus, you're with the tax collector. Who likes to hang out with the IRS? But you know what? If they need to hear about the love of Jesus, I will. Oh, you're hanging out with sinners. I'm not participating in the sin. You know what? Where do the sick go? The sick go to hospitals, right? And they receive the healing from a physician. Well, guess what? We are the ambassadors of the great healer that can heal us of all of our major problems. And the first one being the sin and the results of sin that lead to death, that lead us to hell. So when we go forward with that message, we go forward, we get out there and say, we're going to be a bondservant, we're called, whatever our gifting is, we are set apart for the gospel, whatever that function is. It could be something as simple as taking a plate of cookies out. It could be something as simple as vacuuming the stage. It could be something as simple as setting up chairs. It could be something as simple as, hey, you know what? I got a 2-for-1 coupon for some milk, and I don't drink that much milk. I'll get it anyhow, and I'll take it to the neighbor next door. Say, God bless you. I'm praying for you. I mean, wouldn't that be great? Can you imagine how the assembly of God would grow? How God's assembly would grow if we just each clipped a 2-for-1 coupon and gave the benefit to somebody else? Out of love, not, ooh, here, I'm so spiritual, I got 2 milks and I'm going to give you one because I'm getting rewards in heaven. Oh, don't say no. Don't do it. I want God to give me gold. No. Yeah, seriously. Because we see people like that. Is that the way a servant's supposed to be out there? No. Hey, I don't care. I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do. Do whatever I can to be a blessing to those around me because I'm a bondservant. And of course, Paul continues here. He's not only set apart for the gospel, which of course the scripture goes on to say, which was promised beforehand, which is the validity of the word of God. We have the good news in scripture that has been proven throughout history to be prophetically accurate 100% of the time. That's an A+ when you go to school. The second closest prophetic person, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, is Nostradamus, who he's only right 10% of the time. That's an F in my school. Yeah, we are armed as servants to go forth with the truth, and we have the power of the resurrection to go through and do these things. That power of the resurrection came from God and was proven in Jesus, right? When He rose from the dead, Yeshua, when He rose from the dead. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring out the obedience of faith to the nations. Yes, we have grace, but faith without works is dead. You know, and people try to get into a big debate about that. Well, if I do something for God, that means I'm earning my salvation. No, we're doing things for God because we love God and we're His servants. And we're just going to stand there and say, I'm going to serve you, God. And part of that is obeying His voice. Doing what He wants. Because beyond salvation, guess what? There are others who need to hear about His plan of salvation. And it remains His plan of salvation as long as we are obedient to Him and His Word. But when we're out there and we are trying to save people, it is no longer His plan of salvation. It starts to become our plan of salvation, right? Yeah, remember, Yeshua saves. We don't. We're the mouthpiece. Yeshua saves. We don't. We lead by example. Yeshua saves. Yeshua saves. Let's rejoice in that fact. Yeah. And if we blow it, then hey, create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Renew a right spirit in me. Give me clean hands. Give me pure hearts. You know, I don't want to lift up my soul to anybody else. I want to focus on serving the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who through their faith was reconciled to them as righteousness. And that's what we need to be with. And that's what we need to be about. Now it's interesting, Paul completes this paragraph in verse 7. It says, "To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Adonai, Yeshua HaMashiach." It's very interesting. Grace and peace. In Hebrew, Shalom Aleichem. Right, Barb? Shalom Aleichem. That is a Jewish greeting for grace and peace. Now, it's not literal in the language, but once again, we have to have our Jewish eyes on to understand that's what Shalom Aleichem means. And where does the ultimate grace come from? It comes from God, right? And where does the ultimate peace come from? It comes from the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach. And with that, Paul is saying, wherever I go, Shalom Aleichem, grace and peace in Yeshua. And as servants, if we make that our number one goal, isn't that a great place to start? Whatever we're equipped with, whatever our skills are, whatever our calling is, why do you think that God calls us to do all things unto Him? Think of Hannah when she goes to work and makes pizzas. Trust me, that's not Hannah's favorite thing to do. And it's really hard because the pizza world seems to be a pagan world. Yeah, she's like, oh, Rabbi, it's just crazy over there. There's just all these people and they've got their drama and their problems and their drugs and this, that, and the other. And, just breaking all the commandments, idolatry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's crazy. I just don't feel like going. Well, Hannah, make pizzas unto the Lord. Even if you're putting pepperoni on them, make them unto the Lord. Yeah, exactly. Why? Because if she's doing her best as unto the Lord, then when she has a chance to share, it's not like, there's that Hannah. She believes in Jesus. She believes in Yeshua, but she's the worst employee we've got. Yeah, but as she's doing all things unto the Lord, and I guess she's learned how to slap pizza dough in about a minute now. She's doing it unto the Lord. And with that, she's persevered. And she's pressed. I'm proud of her. I'll say that publicly. I'm proud of how Hannah has stuck with this job. Go ahead, crawl. She's crawling underneath her scarf there. But with that, in that, doing all things to the Lord. That's what a servant does. Right? And it's for the furtherance of the gospel. And because of that, Hannah's had a chance to share with coworkers. She's had a chance to share with customers. She can't initiate the conversation. Welcome to Domino's. Would you like to try our pepperoni pizza special? And can I tell you about the free gift of salvation in Yeshua? Jesus. Would you like an order of Holy Spirit with that? Or was that breadsticks? You know? No. But what it is like, she catches the clues with the customers and the customers initiate conversations. And she's doing it under the Lord. Sausage under the Lord. Doing it under the Lord. Because what is more important? Worrying about touching sausage or worrying about getting people into the kingdom of God? Yeah. So with that, I pray this for each and every one of you. Be the servant that God has called you to be. Do the things that God has set you apart to do. They could be the simplest things in the world. but do them unto the Lord. Because remember, and I think of that verse, Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's none of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast." You got that salvation part out of the way. But the next verse says, "You are his workmanship, created for good deeds in the Messiah, Yeshua, which he has prepared beforehand." That which is perfect, forgetting the last couple of words there. But it's the perfect, it's the will of God, right? We are created to do the good things that God wants us to do, that he's prepared beforehand. He gives us opportunities to do things like, "Oh, I gotta, you know, it's great. I've seen some of you guys out here with the blower. Okay, I'm moving leaves for Jesus." But you know what? When everybody shows up and does the simplest things, there are no needs within the community. There are no needs in the assembly. Because everyone's need is taken care of. Because everyone is using not only the gifts that God has given them, but has responded to the calling that God has upon them. And they are set apart to do the service of his kingdom. And let me encourage you with this. I've seen a lot of it start to happen in this place over the past couple of months. "I don't know much about that discipleship, Rabbi. I don't know much about that evangelism. But you know what? I'm going to show up and I'm going to learn. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to see..." You know, I know that TJ and Melissa, are they both out of... I don't remember if they're both out of town or if just one's out of town this week.
One's out of town and the other one was sick.
Okay, so... But with that, just think, how cool is that? That once everybody says, "Okay, I'm going to see if I'm called to disciple. I'm going to see if I'm called to evangelize." What happens? We see TJ and Melissa both accept the Lord and both get plugged in immediately to discipleship. And I truly believe that that is just the start. This God is going to grow this house, not from brick transferring. "Oh, hey, look, there's some bricks that are over there. Now we're going to have people come in here. Where, hey, I'm not fellowshipping any place, or I'm stopping by for a drive-by. Daniel, it's good to see you, brother." Yeah. You know, because sometimes people just, "Hey, I just want to come in and say God bless you and say hello and just be encouraged." Or sometimes, "Hey, I'm not going any place. Well, why don't you come here and at least get fed until, you know, God gives you clear direction on where you to go. Because we're not supposed to forsake ourselves the assembling together, right? Come in, be fed. Come in and, you know, and you guys know how I work. Wherever God wants you to be, I want you to be there." "Well, what if it's at the competition across town?" Well, you know what? There is no competition in the kingdom of God. It's all about building the kingdom. And if God wants you to someplace across town, what are you doing here? Let's send you off with a blessing. But with that, I truly believe, yeah, there'll be some brick transference. That's okay. But I believe that we are called. We are all called to share the good news. And sometimes we're called to even talk about it. Yeah. "What do you mean, Rabbi?" Well, many times we just share the good news by the way that we conduct ourselves. And we'll close with this. We portray the best grace and peace, the grace and peace of the Messiah, by letting our light shine so that the world would see the good deeds. The world will see the things that God is doing in our lives. And what will they do? They will glorify our Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go ahead and follow up as he goes around.